Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is enterprise-wide agile adoption. Is it an art or science? And our guests for today's show are Jeff Sutherland, who's the co-creator of Scrum and is chairman of Scrum Training Institute as well as the CEO of Scrum Inc. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Very good.
So you're in Europe, right?
No, I'm in Boston right now. I live in Boston, although I spend a couple of weeks a month in Europe.
Beautiful. So you're a globetrotter. How's life there?
It's great. I work mainly in the capital cities of Europe, so it's quite pleasant being over there.
Beautiful. We also have Kristen Wahlberg. She's a CIO at Salesforce.com. Kristen, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, lady?
I'm doing very well, though it's much earlier on the West Coast. I'm here in San Francisco.
Yeah, I will sponsor a cup, like, you know, a pot of coffee for you before we get started. How about
Excellent.
That?
Excellent.
All right. So the topic that we have chosen today, this is on mind of many of these IT leaders, business leaders, as well as mid-management, and many of the people who have been working in a traditional way have been given this jolt of going to a new paradigm, which for many is a positive change. For others, it is a pain. So the fact that we are looking at the agile, let's start from the manifesto itself. We have in the manifesto things written where you would want to have lesser of processes and tools, less documentation, don't even bother or put less emphasis on contract negotiation, and perhaps not even follow a plan because plan keeps changing. Now, as an enterprise, yes, if you were a cool a couple of people in garage and they did not have much to lose of what they have built, this would be an awesome approach. But if for an enterprise which has got a lot of stability or predictability that they always look for, can they just drop everything and say, we will get agility, no promises yet, but let's totally, you know, rock the boat here. Jeff.
Yeah, well, everything I say is documented on my website, scrum.jeffsutherland.com, and most of it is in papers published in the IEEE Digital Library, which are accessible there. On this issue, the best data on Scrum that I've seen comes from a CMMI maturity level 5 company that does virtually 100% fixed price contracts on big defense projects, healthcare, and so forth. What they've shown is that, number one, they can do a virtually perfect traditional waterfall implementation. They have to be better than 95% on target, or they can't get certified at maturity level 5. So they can run a Scrum right alongside that with the same people, and what they find with Scrum is that the cost of project management goes down by 80%, the total cost of the project goes down by 50%, the defects on the average go down by 40% plus or minus 3%. That's how close they measure. So they offer now to the customer either Waterfall or Scrum. The only difference in the Scrum version is that it's half the cost and 40% fewer bugs. Everything else is exactly the same in terms of predictability and quality and all of that.
How would you respond to something like this, Kirsten? Because if the manifesto is like that and what Jeff just mentioned are successes, but before people reach that level of successes, number one, we are changing the approach. Secondly, we don't know how to get the best out of this new paradigm.
So, I mean, I definitely think, you know, when you're looking at the Agile Manifesto, what it's really saying is that Agile prefers individuals and interaction over process and tools. It's not saying that there aren't any process and tools that should be used or can be used to optimize your Agile delivery, but we have found at Salesforce.com that our predictability is actually one of the places that has significantly increased. But to your point, I think with any change in an organization, it takes time to optimize. And one of the things we did with our Agile implementation was we used Agile principles to implement Agile at Salesforce. So, and we also accepted the fact that we, in some ways, had to slow down in order to speed up and get the predictability that comes with Agile.
So now we said that there should be an upfront slowdown or taking a step back for us to truly get the value out of this. How much patience is there at the stakeholder level in order for them to say, oh, you got this new cool methodology, let's slow down and let me tell my stakeholders and Wall Street that I will not be able to deliver something on time because we want to go agile? How do you bell the cat, Jeff?
I think, you know, senior management teams are under competitive pressure in every industry, and in some industries it's intense, like in telecom, and they see that their companies have to go through major changes as fast as possible. So it's not a problem convincing them that they need to change. The problem is actually bringing the company along. I find that if you have really good, strong management support, and you have a good development teams, there isn't much of a slowdown. We just launched a Scrum implementation here in Cambridge in the Boston area last year, and the company, Pegasystems, a publicly traded company, launched 27 Scrum teams in less than 2 months. And their code delivery immediately doubled. The problem they ran into is that their bugs immediately doubled along with their code delivery. So, you know, they had to deal with a higher level of impediment. So the net effect of that is you hit more problems faster. But in Pegasystems' case, they cut their delivery cycle in half, even dealing with all the problems that going fast creates.
If, Kristen, this is a question for you. If you were to go to any management, like senior management folks, and say, we want to do it, is this your expectation is that they take a leap of faith, or you have to do some sort of an education for them to take an informed decision on this?
So I think, you know, the experience I've had has been, you know, here at Salesforce, and Parker Harris, who's co-founder, he really took a leap of faith. And we had an experience where we had, on the product side, we'd been regularly releasing new code every, you know, 3 to 4 months. And suddenly, as we grew, we slowed down to a single release in a year. And we recognized that just wasn't tenable. And that just wasn't consistent with the cloud model. So he took a leap of faith. He knew we had to move to a new, better, faster, more agile model. And literally overnight, we went from being a waterfall shop to being a agile shop. On the R&D side, we saw such incredible success with that. We're immediately able to move back to 3 releases a year. And since that time, we've rolled out Agile across my organization in IT, as well as in our technical operations as well. So we are now all of products and technology, and we've just expanded to the marketing organization here as well. So the company is becoming the entire company, both on the business side as well as the technology side, have seen the benefits. And initially it was a leap of faith, but we, you know, you're able to see the benefits and the results so quickly. Senior stakeholders have the opportunity to really, you know, see the results of that leap of faith very, very quickly and gain the confidence in the decision.
So would you say that we ought to get lucky in order for us to find the top executive to take the leap of faith, for us to get into it eventually, like, you know, initially, and then perhaps we can show our magic? Kristen?
I don't know if you have to get lucky. I think that that leaders with great vision are willing to take risks. And this, I think, is oftentimes perceived as a risk, but it's becoming more and more mainstream, and more you know, success stories, as Jeff has mentioned, are becoming more commonplace. So it's, I believe, ultimately, the majority of development will be done using these methods.
So Jeff,
I think, you know, can I just comment? You know, Salesforce.com is one of the early adopters of Scrum, and for them, they had to maybe take a little bit of the leap in faith. But today, every major software company I know of is doing some Scrum, and most of them have some success stories. So it's no longer a leap of faith.
Now, when you use this qualification of the type of company, a software company where they live and bleed software every day, for them, it looks like there's a great value proposition. My recent conversation with a few CIOs and people from a regular enterprise, what's the value proposition for them? Because business will say, yes, IT is there. It is there to enable business, but it is not what we do all day. So why introduce unpredictability by bringing in a new paradigm? What's your answer for that? Jeff?
Well, many of the companies, like I was down at a hedge fund in New York recently, and the CEO of the hedge fund is still trading, is saying, you know, IT is too slow. Our company is growing and it's getting slower, just as Salesforce.com had that problem. We've got to go faster. And even though the development team said they were going to have problems introducing Scrum, the comment back from the management was, we're going to go twice as fast. If it's not Scrum, what is it? You know, that's where people are in most companies today. They've got to go faster.
So one flavor is that we are into a regular software development where you do one thing for one customer, and the very fact that you want to have a daily Scrum with all business stakeholders, et cetera, everybody on the same, in the same room, for you to be able to successfully understand requirement and deliver, it is not truly possible in a product development environment. So Kirsten, if you had to tweak and or improvise on the Scrum/Agile manifesto and the way it's carried out, how, what would you have to do in such an environment?
So we are definitely already in this place. And on the product side, we have a number of additional processes where we are able to get input. We have our idea site that captures all of the ideas from our customers and prospects about what they want to see in the product. And that idea site gives people the opportunity not only to say, this is what I'd like to see, but everyone else gets to vote and either vote up or vote down those ideas. So we've very much democratized the input and feedback from our customer and prospect based around how we can improve our products. So we have that as an input. We are constantly in conversations and focus groups with our customers getting feedback. And we also, you know, look at the overall strategic plan of the company and where we want to go and bring all of those different inputs together. And that informs the product development side. In IT, where things are more, you know, internal to the company, the way we have looked at that is we make sure that the business is embedded both on the Scrum teams, the business, you know, not only a single business, but the multiple businesses that we're serving are both embedded on the Scrum teams. As well, we have sprint planning and roadmap planning that includes our key stakeholders. So we make sure to bring them into the planning process. And this really creates the most robust and best, you know, backlog for the sprint as well as release plan for the company.
With respect to an organization being people-dependent versus process, so Jeff, in your view, is this making it more people-dependent?
The Scrum was designed to take an average group of developers. I remember Scrum started almost 10 years before the Agile Manifesto. It was designed to take an average group of developers and turn them into a super high-performing team, running at four or five, some of the teams running at 10 times normal teams. And it was based on a lot of deep thought, not only about software practices over the last 50 or 60 years, but the best thinking in psychology and in business. And it basically works for anyone. Now, obviously, if you have really great people on the team will go faster. But no matter where you're starting, we find teams get better and more productive with Scrum.
Let's take a quick break. Listeners, we'll be right back after these messages. And Kirsten, we'll start with you coming back on the same topic, that if an organization wants to adopt Agile and they want to morph these people who we start training, many of them will say, this is not for me, and they may want to move out. What does that do to the fate of this exercise of adopting Scrum within the organization? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyet and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So we were talking about how Agile could be more of a people-dependent paradigm versus process-dependent, and how well does that work for an enterprise? So, Kristen, question for you again is, if you start training people, and many of them would say, I don't like this. I don't want to live my life like this, where every morning I am sitting for a scrum, and I'm always under the gun, if you will, and they want to move on. Are the people who are actually going to implement this or will be key to making this happen, if they are not of that mindset, how much would you be able to, how much will you lose in that upfront training exercise, and how will you get those prima donnas who are ready to do this?
You know, it's interesting. Salesforce.com is a very fast-moving company, and we've always been fast-moving and fast-growing. So we attract individuals who are dynamic and understand and that the pace here is going to be very fast. But in any change that you have, behavior change is very difficult. I think it's reasonable to expect, you know, 15 to 20% of your workforce just isn't going to want to work in a new way, and will find that, you know, they're more comfortable in a more waterfall or more traditional development environment. We didn't have that level of attrition. In fact, most people were really excited because Agile removed a lot of the barriers that had been in the way, particularly within the IT organization, and gave us a self-managed work teams. And the individuals that were in the IT organization found it very liberating and very empowering from the standpoint that instead of having someone, you know, a project manager dictating the steps and the timeline and what's happening, these scrum teams are empowered to define what they're going to do, the time frame and time box sprint that they're going to be working in, and they are self-managing the work and making sure that that's getting done within the sprint. So I think it really does depend on the organization and the culture of the organization in terms of how the people are going to respond.
And have you been able to change some people to start thinking differently, or you just say people who are not willing to be on the bandwagon, let them get off and let new people come on board?
It's definitely the latter. And we, our entire recruiting practices for new individuals coming into Salesforce look at specifically the individual's previous experience with Agile, as well as the individual aptitude towards operating within an Agile or a Scrum environment. So you do have to pick people who enjoy pace, who understand, you know, the responsibility and accountability of being self-managed in work, and are team-focused and team-oriented. When we've recently done an acquisition of Jigsaw.com, and with Jigsaw, we went in and did a culture assessment before we began our implementation of Agile. And I think that culture assessment is a really important first step, because you can really identify the individuals within that organization. Do they have the aptitude to be successful in an Agile mode or not? And it also points to the places where you need to have more coaching, perhaps, to be successful.
Some interesting data on this point. My partner Ken Schwaber will say the same as Kristen: expect that some people won't be willing to do this. But my experience is the same as Kristen: most of them will. It was very interesting at Yahoo after we had rolled out over 250 teams at Yahoo. All the surveys showed that overwhelmingly positive about Scrum for most people. But there was this group of people always, no matter what the question was, about 15% of them didn't like it, thought it was worse. So HR went and did a careful study of those 15%, and they found that on the average, those 15% of people hated everything. They hated the cafeteria, they hated the management, and Scrum was just another thing they hated. So I think you have to really look at people carefully to find out what's really going on.
So, Jeff, in your view, if an organization is truly trying to do a diagnostics on whether they are even ready for this or not, before even jumping and getting a coach or whatever they wanted to do with Agile, do you think this exercise should be a prerequisite, or it should be done once you try with whatever you have and then you see people who are the naysayers or people who are troublemakers, then you do this exercise after the fact?
Yeah, I always start with the way the company's functioning, and I'm doing a lot of work on Scrum outside of IT now, where it becomes even more important to get clear on what's going on. And I ask people, you know, before we start talking about Scrum, do you have a clear list of prioritized work that you're doing, and somebody owning that list of work? And, you know, 90% of the time they say no. And then I say, well, at regular intervals, do you discuss how the work went and figure out how to get better? And 90% of the people say no. And I say, well, isn't that business 101 to be clear about what you're doing and do a retrospective on what you've done? You know, I think we need to implement that first, and then we can talk about how Scrum can really optimize the performance of a team doing that. So it's really getting people organized, just basic business practice, that is a real challenge. And a lot of people don't want to get organized. That's their problem. And I think, and the senior management I talk to understand that that is a huge issue for the company. They need to deal with that.
Now, Kristen, if everybody is being elevated to that higher level where they can handle this whole Agile/Scrum, then truly we should have the Scrum Master or the project manager be the only captain of the ship who is made accountable for success, or it should be a like lot of fingers going towards a lot of people pointing at their respective weaknesses which brought the whole ship down.
So, Agile is a team methodology, and the team owns the success. The team cannot be successful with any one individual, and I think that's one of the fundamental shifts from a project manager-driven project. And what you see is individuals step up. In a waterfall methodology, what we would see is at the end of every project, QE was always the bottleneck. QE was always responsible for the defects. QE was always responsible for missing the date. QE was always responsible for, you know, releasing a buggy product. When in fact you move that same project into an Agile methodology, QE and development and product management are all responsible for the quality of the product, are all responsible to make sure that you don't get to the end of the project and have a significant amount of quality assurance and testing that still needs to be done. All of that's being done along the way in every sprint. So by the time you get to a release cycle, you all already have the confidence of the quality of the product that's going to be released, and it's owned and shared by the team. We have a lot of QE folks that do development work and development teams that do quality work, because those are the tasks that need to get done in any given sprint for that particular release to be successful. So people kind of drop their functional hats and move into a place of, how do I, with my skills, regardless of what my title says, how do I bring my skills into this team and help this team ensure success?
Jeff, what's your thought on this one?
Yeah, there's only three roles in Scrum: the product owner, the Scrum Master, and the team. And that's because the research shows that teams function better with fewer roles. And the Scrum Master is not a project leader. They're responsible for the process and coaching people to work the process. So, if the team is not following the process, then the Scrum Master would be held accountable for that. But in terms of the performance of the team and actually building the software, it's the team's responsibility. Now, what they actually implement, that is controlled by the prioritization of the product owner. So if the product comes out and it's the wrong product, then the product owner or the product owner team in most companies is held directly accountable for getting the right product. So the team is responsible for production. The Scrum Master is responsible to make sure the process works, and the product owner is responsible for making sure they get the right thing. So we have kind of clear responsibilities, but they're very different than a traditional organization.
So let's look at from a product owner standpoint. You suppose you're watching this whole action going on with the product owner, Scrum Master, and the team working on a project, and this is a black box for you. What you see is, this is what I wanted, and this is what came out. Partly, you could say product owner did not understand, so something got lost in translation. Partly, it could be because the team did not work in terms of what they were supposed to do. And then partly you could say Scrum Master did not execute the process. So while we can go ahead and say, Mr. Product Owner, you did not get me the product that I needed, but is that the right neck to grab alone? Jeff?
Well, there is no substitute for figuring out the right product. The reason that Apple has more money in the bank than almost anybody else is that Steve Jobs is their chief product owner. And he makes sure they got the right product. Many of the companies I walk into, you ask about where people have really real problems. They haven't assigned someone to really work that product issue, whether it's a product company or even internally with IT. How are you going to manage the business unit requests and make sure that they satisfy the business unit needs? The business needs to participate in that and have people who can conceptualize what is needed, and to make sure they're looking at what the teams are doing so that it is the right thing. So this product owner function is very weak in most companies, and I think that is one of the three key components that make some companies really stumble when they're trying to initialize. I coached companies to not even start scrumming until you have a clear prioritized product backlog that the team understands. Otherwise, you're just getting off on the wrong foot.
So, Christian, we don't have Steve Jobs in every company. So if we have that weakness or that shortcoming, how do you offset that?
So we've done a number of things to offset that. One of the first things we've done, and Scrum helps us do this, is a lot more prototyping and proof of concepts. One of the things in a traditional waterfall project is business requirements go in, 6, 8, 12 months later, the end result comes out. And many business partners or customers, it's almost like before someone will walk into an art gallery, if you ask them what picture they want, they're not really able to describe what picture they want. But as soon as they see that picture hanging on the wall, they say, yep, that's the one I want. So with sometimes with systems, it's the same way. The business doesn't really know and can't articulate what it is they're looking for. But when you use Scrum to quickly spend a sprint developing a prototype, that's when they can look at it and say, yes, that's what I want, or no, that's that's not exactly where I wanted you to go. So we can take that feedback very quickly and very early on in the process to ensure that the end product that comes out is indeed what's going to meet the business needs. So prototyping and proof of concepts up front are a really important part of helping make sure you don't make those mistakes.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And let's look at briefly if there could be any benchmarks that we could set so that if we, at every stage of adoption and the way we are going to be grooming people, are there any set of benchmarks we should establish? And if we are doing what we are supposed to do, then what are the other impediments or constraints or challenges that we might see? Are there, or we could inventory so that we can identify those timely, take care of those, and help get Agile adopted successfully. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Wielding power, shaping environments and outcomes, and making things happen are all essential characteristics of great leaders. Yet these qualities alone are not enough to ensure your success. In a complex world, how do you decide what's most important to you? In your career, your relationships, your finances, your family, in the world around you, in the whole of your life at large? Dr. Joseph Riggio, the host of Leadership Intuition, says that personal leadership, the desire to take charge of your life, is the key to creating futures that work and building a life worth living. Join Joseph as he reveals the power of uncovering and living your own personal mythology, the key to personal transformation, exquisite performance, and social influence. Learn to look inside and discover your personal mythology and unique leadership style. Go beyond conventional advice and discover your unique success blueprint on Leadership Intuitions with Dr. Joseph Riggio each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America channel. Leadership Intuitions, power, achievement, relationships.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Zoom Leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Kristen, if you were to, before you started with Salesforce or any other company that your counterparts might be trying to use as an example to adopt Agile, would you think there is any benchmark, any standard set of parameters that are available which would allow them to call it successful? And if we are calling successful, what is the end result? What are they seeing at that time? And then if at all they are not being as successful during the journey, if there are any impediments, there are any constraints, there are any challenges which are preventing them, what are the typical ones that you see?
So I think one of the things I learned in our implementation at Salesforce that really made a big difference was instead of trying to pilot with a certain project or a certain team, we implemented Agile across all teams all at the same time. And I think that is a really important differentiator for success, because I think a lot of companies, prior companies where I've worked at where we have tried Scrum and Agile, there was a short-lived success, but then that success started to break down. And that success was measured, you know, primarily in the areas we've been talking about thus far, which is speed. The speed in delivery of code, the speed in getting usable code and usable features into the business or the customer's hands. That was, you know, the early success of these pilot teams. But what happened is as those teams continued in an agile mode, when all of the other parts of the organization were not operating in Scrum, those teams were still moving very, very quickly. Very, very slowly. Those teams still had a waterfall methodology, and they became blockers. And then the ability of the Agile team within this island, they couldn't actually continue to consistently deliver to the commitments they made in their sprints because they had dependencies on other individuals outside of the sprint. And so I think that that's a key thing that companies really need to look at if they're going to be moving to an Agile model. I would highly recommend all teams all at the same time as a way to get past that. Ultimately, the measures of success for each of our projects, we have, you know, critical success factors that we lay out at the beginning of a project. And at the end of every sprint, you have a retrospective. And in this sprint review and retrospective, you are actually looking at the code, looking at the work that's been done during that given sprint, and really analyzing what did we do well, what didn't we do well, what are we going to change next time, and making sure that we're incorporating those learnings into the next sprint. So you're continuously learning, you're continuously improving, and you're touching base to make sure that you are hitting the critical success factors that you have laid out for the project from the get-go. And it's important to have your customer or your business partner involved in those sprint reviews. We get incredible feedback. You know, IT is no longer a black box for your business user. They can see what we're building. They can see whether or not it's hitting the mark, and they can see whether or not the team is on track to meet those critical success factors.
So, Jeff, based on what Christian just described, do you think success of Agile in terms of its adoption is only as good as the next successful project we deliver?
Well, let me hit it from a completely different level to add to what Christian says. I work with a venture group, and all our investors are on the boards of companies. And you know, their complaint was that they'd go to a board meeting and the management team would present them a Gantt chart with a release schedule. And they said that the Gantt chart was always wrong, so they could never plan from an investment point of view. What Scrum delivers them is the management has to know the velocity of production of the teams, so they actually know when the team is going to be able to deliver what they're committed to. And the teams also surface the impediments of the company that are beginning to slow them down. And they hold the management accountable at the board meeting for removing impediments that are blocking the team. So this has, just like Toyota does, they hold the management accountable for process improvements every day of every week of every month of every year. And Toyota does 1 million process improvements a year. And, you know, that's the way our investors think. You know, maybe we can't get 1 million in a small company, but, like, how about 1,000 process improvements? And what we see initially is we go in and we work with the Scrum teams, getting them booted up, and we want to see a doubling of performance, tripling, quadrupling in some cases. Then we want to see that translating right into revenue for the product. Now, what typically happens is we find that the whole product marketing side of the company is not strong enough. So we go in for, you know, 3, 6, maybe sometimes longer. We're spending 80% of our time focused on the teams. And then it shifts to where we're spending 80% of our work working with product marketing to get that product right. Because at the end of the day in the board meeting, we want to see revenue double. We want to see it quadruple. We want to see it go up, you know, a lot, 10 times, 1,000 times would be great. That's what the investors want to see. That's the way they measure performance. And they know it's all driven right from those teams, right from removing the impediments, right from having the right product, and right from having the customers having to have the product. And that's all driven by agile practice.
So would you say that you could build like a holy grail version of agile adoption, which is what we call a successful agile adoption, and let that be shared with the world so that they know which, if they're running very fast towards getting agile adopted, they at least know which direction and what are they supposed to see as the ultimate level of...
From the investment point of view, and where I'm working now always, is I want to see the stock price go up. I want to see the revenue go up. I want to see the customer satisfaction statistics go up significantly. And if the Scrum team is not doing that, we haven't connected in the right way yet. So we have to do root cause analysis of where is the block. If the team is not performing, we need to fix that. If the product's not the right product, we need to get that straight. But at the end of the day, it's all about making the company great. And it starts with the Agile teams.
Based on what Jeff mentioned, Kristen, do you think this is a pretty broad definition for anyone to really look at that focused goal to pursue? That if shareholder value increases, that could also increase because of many other reasons. And yes, Agile has to contribute towards it, but that does not give a focused goal or a purpose for the Agile community within the organization to really pursue the next level of excellence.
So I think Agile is a delivery methodology, but every company has to have a strategic framework and a strategic plan in which Agile is operating and delivering to that execution. Things like shareholder value, stock price, and customer satisfaction are absolutely have to be delivered for a company to be successful. And I share Jeff's view that Agile is the best way to actually deliver to the needs of the company and the needs of the customer. And it also, I mean, for me as an executive, I've spent a lot of time in organizations, and information and transparency and really knowing what's going on in your organization becomes harder and harder, both the higher you get up in the hierarchy as well as the larger the company becomes. And one of the things that I have seen with Agile is that once a month we have a sprint review, which is where all of the Scrum teams come and they present what they have developed over the past month, and then they talk about their three-month roadmap forward. So what will they be delivering in the next three releases? And in a single day, I know everything that my organization has developed and everything that they are going to be working on in the future. And to do that and to bring that transparency to all executives as well as the business, that really helps connect what we're trying to do on a strategic level and the strategic objectives and imperatives that we have to the actual work that's getting done. Are we really focused in the right place? Are these teams aligned in delivering to that strategic plan? And if they're not, it's an opportunity to make a course correction very, very quickly. And you know that you have the ability to say, you know what, I recognize that, 6 months ago when we thought this was going to be where we were focused, things have changed. I mean, the environment today changes incredibly rapidly. And Agile gives you a way to respond quickly and ultimately deliver the shareholder value that you need to for overall company success.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be at the Scrum Master role. So while we have a ton of traditional project managers who aspire or morph themselves to the Scrum Master role and try to manage this process, now how successful can they be with what they know today, and what you can do outside as the ones who are driving this whole Agile methodology in terms of adoption within the organization to identify this person requires this type of coaching or this person does even have the DNA to be able to morph into a successful Scrum Master. So how do you tame this beast? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Interstate Sportsman Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Friday mornings at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 Eastern, for the Interstate Sportsman on the Voice America channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
All right, Kristen, we'll start with you. We have a traditional project manager in many of them, in many of the organizations. They have their paychecks on the line, and they see the companies adopting or at least introducing Agile into the organization. Now, from an outside-in standpoint, some people may or may not fit the DNA. How do you, first of all, recognize and how do you repurpose or retool the ones who already exist as traditional project managers in some other role so that we don't lose the business knowledge or some form reutilize what they've already learned? And then how do you convert those people who have a totally different type of a mindset into successful Scrum Masters?
So I think training is very, very important because there are different behaviors and there are fundamental job differences between a traditional project management role and a Scrum Master role. When you're looking at Agile, it's really about, you know, product management moves from this sort of servant leadership or moves into a servant leadership place where you're enabling others. And really, you're not driving outcomes. You're enabling others to deliver, and you're enabling that teamwork. And it is a significant behavior shift for project managers. So I think training is absolutely critical. And again, you know, we've talked about some folks are going to fall out of that process. They are not going to be comfortable making that behavioral shift. But I think those who recognize that Agile is the future and this is where most companies are moving, they embrace it, and once they see the success and they see the delivery from those teams, and they also realize that a lot of the traditional barriers have been broken down, and it makes their job that much more interesting and that much more rewarding.
Jeff, in your world, what do you see is the success rate of a traditional project manager morphed into a Scrum Master?
Yeah, the best I've seen done with this was a company that's now part of Comcast, where the project management office actually decided to bring Scrum in. And the head of the PMO, he fielded all the Scrum Masters. So some of his people he felt would make good Scrum Masters. They were trained to be Scrum Masters. Others were people who were more customer-facing and were managing project for customers. He turned them into product owners. owning that customer and the customer backlog. And there were some large efforts. There were multi-company efforts driving cable set-top boxes out into the networks. Those people he called program managers. So at the end of the day, he had those three categories of things built out of his traditional group. On the other side, I've seen PMOs who have blocked, who felt threatened, and did everything they could to stop the Scrum implementation in the company. And that, of course, most of those companies suffer, the business suffers because of that. And so that's a big problem. But I can tell you the research, the latest studies from Forrester Research shows that there's a lot more Agile projects being implemented today than there are waterfalls. So, you know, the message to every project leader out there is you've got to be good at both. It's not good enough to be just a traditional project manager today if you want to be in the business. So as soon as all the project leaders get that, then they'll be going to training, they'll be booting themselves up so that they can perform either a traditional role or a Scrum Master role and do both well. That's going to be good for the industry.
So what should these people who have the fear of loss of paycheck hovering over them when you're adopting Agile in an organization, what is the assurance that you can give them so that they are at least willing to take a leap of faith and jump into this, and some of them will fly with great success. Others would have not as good a success, but then they have the assurance that they will be reutilized or retooled.
Well, I'm working with one of the largest telecom companies in the world, and they have hundreds of middle managers asking me this question. and I say the same to them as I say to smaller companies. I say, you know, you're in a business that is undergoing rapid change, and the question is not whether you should implement Agile. The question is, are you going to be out of business like Nortel in 3 years? You know, you have a huge challenge to face, and Agile can help you. Now, to go through that transition, you as a management team are responsible for the performance of this company and taking them through this incredible change that's going on in the industry. And Agile is a tool for you. And as managers, you are responsible for figuring that out. So in my last two companies, I was actually had the good fortune of owning the technical side of the company. One of them is now GE Healthcare, so it's quite large. And I said to the managers when I came in here, okay, guys, throw away all your business cards because we're going Agile, and that means everybody is going to be on a team, and everybody who's a manager is going to be a leader of a team, a Scrum Master or a Scrum of Scrums Master, and we're all going to be learning how to be servant leaders and how to be good team members. So as a management team, I want you to self-organize and figure out who are the teams, which team are you on, and which team are you a Scrum Master for? And I coached them through that process. And again, it was an all-at-once process, as Kristen mentioned, so it was a little easier than most companies have it. But in both of those companies, while I was there, they were tremendously successful. It's harder to maintain that if you, as companies mature and they get more traditional management, it's hard to maintain that self-organization at the management level.
Very last question, only 30 seconds for both of you individually. What would be a good pilot project for this? Do you go with a mega project which gets sponsorship or for a low risk, low budget so that you can prove the concept? Kristen.
I'm going to stick with I think you should go all in. I don't think you should pilot because that's you are dependent on every project's success in the rest of the organization. If you only have a small group that's working in an agile way, it will be more difficult to see the success.
Jeff.
You know, I agree with Kristen, but to go all in, you really need good management support. And if you don't have it, you've got to do something else. I say pick the hardest problem you have because Scrum is designed specifically to fix hard problems. And when it needs to be fixed, it means that at least the team will get enough support from management and from the company to help the company through that hard issue that they're facing. So I think that I see the biggest successes on dealing with the toughest issues.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Jeff and Kristen, for sharing your thoughts about this interesting topic about agile adoption within an enterprise. And it looks like that it is part art, part science. So we did not get one camp to win here. But hopefully there would be a lot more maturity that organizations will get in this area, and we will all see some more success. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, please send us to views@ciotalkradio.com or views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sancho Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.